Thank you again for the grace of our time together here in worship, family, friends, and guests alike. Offer this good news from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Hear these challenging words, these convicting words, as they may speak to you and your life. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So on my 61st birthday, October 19th, and then I believe, as some of you know, I share also that birthday with my son, who is 32 years younger than me, as I was 32 years younger than my father. So it's always a special day for me and the joy that that brings. But for me, each year, no exception to the 61st, particularly in my adult years, it's a time for reassessment. And so a little different this year, rather than just doing that on my own, looking out into space, I did it right in front of a mirror. And I started to look at myself and say, you know, my hair doesn't look like when I was in my 40s. Starting to get a few lines. And, you know, so unless I concentrate on standing up straight, my posture tends to lean in. So I was examining my physicality. I said, oh, well, I'm 61, and I'm glad to live another year. And I turned away from the mirror, but I suddenly felt grabbed, and I'm not sure why, to go back to that mirror and take a close look at myself. I looked deep into my eyes to look at the aging and life and experience of my spirit and my soul. And I started to ask some questions, some deep questions. Have I been faithful with what God has given me? And when I have not, have I been thankful to God that God remains steadfast in my faithlessness, that I might be faithful again? To not my call, but importantly, as a husband, as a father, as a son, as a brother, as a church family ministry, roles that we have in brothers and sisters in Christ. Have I been faithful? And then quick kind of rerun, fast rewind to forward. I recognized mostly that God had been faithful and allowed me to be faithful, and I gave joy in that. But it was an act of humbleness. It was an act of humility, because as I was staring and having this moment and looking at myself inwardly and doing some reflection, I recognized that there were times in my life, admittedly, where I really pumped myself up, and I did implicitly or explicitly think that I was better than others. So I asked for God's forgiveness in that moment for the times that I was arrogant and I was not humble and that I had exalted myself and lifted myself up. All to say, as I came kind of to a landing spot, that it was a reality check. Out of my misconceptions or waywardness at times, I was drawn back into a focus of God's reality in my life, and then the ideal to live faithfully to look beyond myself, to focus on God, and to focus on others. How about you? Have you had those moments where you intentionally, or maybe it's caught you by surprise, had a reality check and done the real work to do some inner work, to look at your life, to make yourself vulnerable and transparent before God and say, have I been faithful? Am I living to your call and purpose? And have there been times where I have sought foolishly or falsely to put people below myself rather than on an even level plane in which God receives you and God receives all of us? Sometimes it is children, and then sometimes children well into their adulthood, that teach us best those realities of doing a reality check and being humble or not. So there was a fifth grader, and then this fifth grader in her school class had a competition on voting as to who was the prettiest in the class among the girls. And she cheerfully came home. The mother was aware of this and said, "Mother, I got it. They voted me the prettiest person in the class." Well, they didn't stop there. They were looking at ways to really identify people's gifts and graces, if you will. And the second vote was, who was most likely to succeed? And she comes home and says, "Mom, I got it. Not only am I the prettiest, but I'm the most likely to succeed." And yet a third time she went back, and they had voted her as the most popular, to be the most successful, the prettiest. And yet a fourth time she comes home, but this time she's frowning. She said, "You mean you lost the vote? What happened?" And she said, "Yes, they voted me the most stuck up." You see, being pretty, being voted popular and pretty and successful, it apparently had gone to her head. And these children recognized that. Well, apparently she didn't learn the lesson, but this was a very athletic child. She was very physical. She entered into martial arts as a young adulthood. And one day with a martial arts teacher, she had the audacity to say, "You know what? You've taught me everything, how to defend myself. Now I want you to teach me the totality of your understanding of God." And so this martial arts teacher pulled out a couple teacups and started to pour hers first, and poured and poured and poured. It got to the brim, and then it just overflowed, and she's going, "Stop, stop, stop." It's running on the floor. "What are you doing? The cup is overflowing." And then he emptied the cup and he cleaned it up and he said, "You have become so full of yourself. Overflowing. You know, I still hear from your childhood how you beat your chest as pretty and popular. And that you're most likely to succeed in this martial arts class and you pump yourself up. You're not going to be in a place to be taught to receive the fullness of God until you empty yourself. Until you humble yourself before God, and then let God to pour in the place and at the levels it needs to be. Appreciating what God has given you and that you might share that fullness with others." Have you had times in your life where you got so full of yourself and you were overflowing with that fullness that you lost sight, that you were drowning in that, and that someone and something reminded you that until you empty yourself and let God do the filling, you'll also lose a sense of humility and humbleness to the point that you may become stuck up. And you become stuck up sometimes in life. I can identify times I've been stuck up in judging people and how they are or aren't fitting and their attitudes and spirits and who's better and who's not. And it's a worldly, dangerous game. Thank God we have the ways to come into worship and to confess, to empty ourselves, and to be humble again. And so the parable teaches us that great lesson. As I'm sure that school child was very honored and respected by our classmates, so was the Pharisees. The Pharisees were honored for their discipline and worship and tithing and prayer and their observance of religion as the temple would offer it and as they would model it. But at a distance, I imagine that they saw how these Pharisees were full of themselves and kind of stuck up and pompous and not humble and didn't choose to interact with and for the people in a leveling plane as equal children of God. And so no less this tax collector comes along, and the Pharisee has the audacity to say, these people, who are they to pray? The tax collector, the adulterers, and on, the sinners, where I'm not a sinner, I'm faithful. And what does God do? God humbles this person by the example of the tax collector who says, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. The one who's extorting money from the people for Rome. Stark contrast of humbleness and humility in coming to God in prayer. The Pharisee was all about himself and self-righteousness. And the tax collector comes to terms and says, I am humble and I come to you in humility. Please have mercy on me. Perhaps we can identify at different points in our lives when we've been like the Pharisee, we've been like the tax collector, and in our attitude and approach to prayer, to worship, to God, in our treatment with one another. From the earliest memories of childhood for ourselves and the teen years and adulthoods, identify those places, come to terms, and do the reality check. Take an inventory. Maybe you have unfinished business around those things where you've been stuck up, you've been full on yourself, and you need to give it to God and say, I've been Pharisaic in the worst sense here. Even though I honor worship and I honor the church, these are the ways in which I just quietly or unknowingly lifted myself. Where are those places for you where you need to humbly come before God? Because when we do, that is when we and us together are exalted. When we say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner. It's a prayer for all of us because we're all sinners. Finally, I close with this story. There was a man who went to heaven and he met St. Peter. And as he met St. Peter, there was an angel there with a pad taking inventory of what people had offered in their lives. And this man was very confident. Very confident when the angel was saying, he said, now to get into and through the gates and enter the heaven and eternal life, you need to earn 1,000 points. Tell us how you have earned those 1,000 points in life. Well, I've been loyal to the church. I've been in the choir. I've been on every committee. I've served in mission and ministry. I've served in the community. I've been a good husband. I've been a good father. And he stops and says, well, that ought to do it. And the angel tallies it and whispers to St. Peter over here, well, that's 371 points. What am I going to do? So he really starts stretching. Well, there was the time that I gave somebody in the grocery line or someone who had the flat tire. Was really stretching it and finally said, well, that's 471 points. And finally, in exasperation, he said, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? There's no way I can get into heaven. I don't have enough points. Lord, Lord, I beg for your mercy. And St. Pete said, that's it, 1,000 points. It's not about, as the great Martin Luther taught and Christians did, it's not about our works and our self-righteousness and what we do and all these acts of doing so that we might inflate our egos, inflate our self-worth. This is about humbly coming before God and thanking God that we are created in the first place and that we have an opportunity to live in this kingdom and to be received into the next kingdom, not by our own doing, but through God in Jesus Christ who lived, who died, who was resurrected for the forgiveness of our sins and salvation, and none of us can earn our way to salvation. Not the Pharisee, not the tax collector, not the little girl in that elementary school class who and also wasn't getting it in martial arts. I don't know the rest of the story for her and for you. I don't know the rest of the story for the Pharisee and the tax collector. Particularly with the Pharisee. The Pharisee was not a bad person. They were just in a bad place and understanding. And there could have been another. There's always that opportunity where that Pharisee didn't be humbly before God. We're not counted out when we hold ourselves accountable for those things that we're not proud of. We give it to God. We do it humbly, and God receives us over and over again. And so the great teachers, the ancients, Martin Luther, John and Charles Wesley, and us today, we model, we teach, we preach that salvation is not based on works, it is based on faith. And how God receives us and how we live in our faith. So that when we pray, when we worship, when we come together, when we live our lives, we understand what it's all about. Over and over again, we get a reality check. And looking at the scriptures, how did it relate to those people? How does it relate to my life? And how am I living humbly before God? So we pray. We pray individually, we pray collectively. In the 5th century, John Chrysostom, who was an ancient in the desert fathers and desert mothers of Egypt, formed and shaped what through the centuries now has become the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Isn't it powerful to think that thousands, probably millions, have prayed this prayer and received an understanding of salvation in this life and in the next? Not by our works, but by our faith, and just to simply do the best we can. And so I close asking you to pray after me, the Jesus Prayer, so that we might know that together and individually in our lives. Pray after me. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Son of the living God.
Son of the living God.
Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
A sinner.
A sinner.
You are received in grace and forgiveness and in eternal life. Amen.